For the message this morning, we're reading from two passages of Scripture, Leviticus 25, and a little bit later, from the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. The title of the message this morning, The Trumpet of Jubilee, is sounding. We'd like you to stand for a moment, ask God's anointing upon the minister of the word and the ministry and those being ministered to this morning. Heavenly Father, we pray that the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. The trumpet of Jubilee is sounding. Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 4. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord, that thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard. That which groweth of its own accord of thy harvest thou shalt not reap, neither gather the grapes of the vine undressed. For it is a year of rest unto the land. And the Sabbath of the land shall be food or meat for you, for thee, and for thy servant, and for thy maid, and for thy hired servant, and for the stranger that sojourneth with thee, and for thy cattle, and for the beasts that are in the land, shall all the increase thereof be meat. Thou shalt number seven Sabbaths of years unto thee, seven times 7 years. And the space of the seven Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound, on the 10th day of the 7th month, in the day of atonement, shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And you shall hallow, or sanctify, make holy the 50th year, and proclaim liberty throughout all the land, unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, unto his possession. And you shall return every man unto his possession, and you shall return every man unto his family. A jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. Ye shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it of thy vineyard undressed. For it is the jubilee. It shall be holy unto you. Ye shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. In the year of this jubilee ye shall return every man into his possession. And if thou sell aught unto thy neighbor, or buyest aught of thy neighbor's hand, ye shall not oppress one another. Verse 18. Wherefore ye shall do my statutes, and keep my judgments, and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land in safety. And in the land shall yield her fruit, and ye shall eat your fill, and dwell therein in safety. And if ye shall say, what shall we eat the seventh year? Behold, we shall not sow, nor gather in our increase. Then I will command my blessing upon you in the sixth year, that it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. And ye shall sow the eighth year, and eat yet of the old fruit until the ninth year, until the fruits come in, shall you eat of the old store. Now what he is saying is, there shall be a Sabbath of years, just like there's a Sabbath of days. Every seventh year shall be a Sabbath. And just like every seventh day, you do not work on that day, but eat that which is provided on the sixth day. Every seventh year you shall not work, but eat that which is provided on the sixth. But when you come to the seventh of the seventh Sabbath, that's the Sabbath of sabbatical years, which means 49 years, then on that seventh year, he's saying, see, the year was from harvest to harvest, and the harvest was it ended in the middle of April. So he's saying, it's in our spring. So he's saying, all right, now in the seventh year, which is the Sabbath, you shall not go out and reap all at once you know, like you normally do in the springtime, the harvest. And so, in the seventh year then, you're going to have to eat what was in the sixth. So starting in April, the seventh year starts. And as the year, right after the harvest. But then in the autumn of the seventh year, you shall not sow. And then you're going to have to go then to the seventh year harvest and take that which was provided in the sixth year, because you have not, in the autumn of the sixth year, because you have not sown in the autumn of the seventh year. And then in the autumn of the seventh year, you cannot sow because it's the seventh year. And that runs into the eighth year, which is now the 50th year, the year of Jubilee. And so for that whole year, you have also then to trust what God did when you planted in the sixth year. And then into that eighth year, when you come to the autumn of the eighth year, you can't even plant for the ninth year because it's a Jubilee. So then he'll have to take care of you in the ninth year, which is the 51st year. You see, going by Sabbath of years. And so God's going to take care of you, has to care of you for 3 years in a row, as it were. And you have to trust what God did in that sixth year to take you through for that seventh and that eighth up until the time of the ninth when you can gather it. You can gather, but you can't plant in the ninth, but you can gather in the ninth. And then in verse 23, "And the land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine, for ye are strangers and sojourners with me." Now Israel had under the law morning and evening sacrifices. Every day the priests had sacrifices, morning oblations and evening sacrifices, sin offerings for the sins of the people. Every seventh day was a Sabbath, and on that Sabbath day, as they gathered together to read the law and meditate upon God and so forth, there were sacrifices made on the sabbatical day. And then there were feasts given, 3 major feasts and 7 altogether feasts in the year. And at those feast times, there was much sacrifice and offerings of sin, of the sins of the people. And then on the great day of atonement, which was once every year when the high priest went beyond the veil into the Holy of Holies and pronounced an unutterable, ineffable name, and the Shekinah glory was manifest on the mercy seat, and the sins were offered them for the people and the priest and everyone for the entire year, and they put their hands on the scapegoat and so forth and put the sins into that goat and one went free. Not only every morning to take care of what was done in the night and what to last you for the day, and every night for what happened the day to last you for the next day, every week to take for the week, and then every feast to take you for that particular section, and then for every year to take you for the whole year, and then there were sabbatical years every seventh year to take you for that, and after the seven of seven years, then there was the year of Jubilee, and all these show the same truth with increasing revelation and typology. And all of these things and the repeated sacrifice show us that the inability of fallen man to keep the law that was reasonable, necessary, just, and good. There was nothing wrong with the law, just fallen man. It wasn't that the law was too high. The law was not too high. Man was just too low. And it shows us that there had to become continual sacrifices and sin offerings made. As they show us that God sent a substitute because man couldn't live like he should live, the Lamb of God that should take away the sins of the world. It shows us the inability for all the lambs and all the bullocks that the priests offered and all the goats that were offered as sin sacrifices to forgive sins. It showed that they had to look forward to something else. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world, as John the Baptist said when he saw Christ come down to the River Jordan. It shows that all these things were pointing towards something more, for the fact that Christ died once and for all. And that takes us to the book of Hebrews, our second reading, in chapter 10 and verse 1. And for sake of brevity, as in Leviticus, I'm only going to read some of the verses. I've left out one wonderful truth in Leviticus that won't take time to take it this morning. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of those things, it was not the thing, it was only a shadow cast by the thing, can never with those sacrifices, which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. The sacrifices didn't make them perfect. All they did was keep acquitting their sins. And even they wouldn't even do that if it were not for that which was imputed because of Christ. And in verse 4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats, that bullocks, should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, when he cometh into the world through Christ, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Verse 6. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. He had no pleasure in these, but they were necessary as signposts along the way and as instruments to evoke faith and an outward work to show the inward faith and repentance. But he had no pleasure in them. Verse 8. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein which are offered by the law, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. For Jesus said, he taketh away the first covenant, that he may establish the second, the new covenant, by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest under the law standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. He has legally made us perfect once and for all by the work done on Calvary, although he is working to make us and fully, experientially perfect and bring us into that place with him. God is now not looking for physical sacrifice, but for spiritual sacrifice. We are to sacrifice ourselves as a living sacrifice upon the altars, God says, in Romans chapter 12. And he's looking for the antitype of the Sabbath, the spiritual rest in our souls, and we're filled with the Holy Ghost. When we come to a place where we have given ourselves over to him, and so there's no conflict between the flesh and the spirit, but we've completely subdued it, allowed the spirit to subdue it, and are walking in the spirit, allow his spirit to take over, until there's a perfect rest within. He now wants an anti-type of the Passover to take us out of sin, out of Egypt, and save us, bring us through the Red Sea to water baptism, take us down to Sinai where we have our Pentecost, and fill with the Holy Ghost as that feast implies. And then take us into the Feast of Tabernacles, where there is the ingathering of all the fruit. And you notice the ingathering came after Pentecost, not before Pentecost. First there is out of Egypt, then baptized in the Red Sea, and then the Sinai for the Holy Spirit, and then the tabernacle of ingathering after that. But there's also a jubilee when you blow the trumpets. The jubilee is the last and the most remarkable of all the Hebrew festivals. Not until God uttered his voice in Christ and rent the veil of the temple from top to bottom and raised Christ from the grave and poured out his spirit upon Pentecost, did the Old Testament sacrifices and institutions come into focus for the people of God. Could not be understood fully outside of that which Christ did, not only in the death and the resurrection, but the sending forth of His Spirit. There was no trump of jubilee that sounded in the earth till after Christ died and rose again. And that brought forth what we call the gospel, or the good news, that He is risen. He is not a dead Christ on a cross someplace. But there was an empty cross and an empty grave, and heaven's throne has Him sitting thereon. And He has shed abroad His Spirit, that we which walk having Him with us should now have Him in us. Signaling that the Day of Atonement was accomplished. That great high day once every year, when the high priest went in beyond the veil to the Holy of Holies, when sacrifices were offered for the entire nation. It's the Day of At-One-Ment, the day when God has brought the reconciliation of God and man, that signals that the Day of Atonement is finished. And the Jubilee started with a trumpet immediately after the great atonement sacrifices on the 10th day of the 7th month. As soon as the priest went in and sacrificed, and that was accomplished, and the atonement was finished, they blew the silver trumpets, signaling the Jubilee was about to begin, now that the atonement was finished. The trumpet signals a promised restoration, a promised blessing, the restitution of all things about to begin. Although it took a time prophetically to wrap it up, and it has not yet been completed. The church has had its morning and evening prayers of forgiveness to God. It's had its time of personal cleansing for sins. It's had its Sabbath of rest. It's had its Sabbath of years of revivals and longer periods, year periods, longer periods of spiritual rest. It's had its feast days of salvation, Passovers, and Pentecost, Holy Ghost outpourings, and harvesting of souls in the Feast of Tabernacles. It's had its days of atonement when God forgave and cleansed and sanctified the church during periods of national revivals. But in these last days, after the seven of sevens of sabbatical rests of the Holy Ghost, it's time for the Jubilee. The Jubilee is a time for the sounding of the trumpet of silver throughout the whole land. They were silver because silver speaks of the atonement. That was the two shekels of silver was that which was given, you see, for the time for the atonement, for sin offerings. And so the silver trumpets were blown throughout the whole land. The Hebrew for the trumpet was a far-sounding trumpet. Every slave was set free. You know, God wants to set every slave of sin free. The millstone of debt that is hanging about the neck of God's sons was cut off, and He had a new start. On the day of year of Jubilee, everyone who had been sold into slavery because they couldn't pay a debt and the creditor had come and they sold their sons as into slavery, we find out that on the year of Jubilee, they could come back again. Every man that sold himself could come back again and be free, a free man, and start all over again. And God has come that He might set those who have sold themselves into sin and sold their children into sin, that He might bring them back and make them free and start all over again in Him. Jubilee is the time for the restitution of lost property. As you had to sell your home, as you had to mortgage a part of your farm, and then another part of it, until finally you had to mortgage your home itself, and everything you had, all your wagons, and all your oxen, and all your tools, you kept mortgaging more and more, you're getting further and further in debt as the creditors would come, and finally you've lost everything. It's the time of the restitution of your property. You get your farm back, you get your home back, you get everything back, and if he's added shingles to it, you get that back too. And it's yours to start over again. Everything was repaired. You got your original inheritance that God gave. And every nation and every tribe got their inheritance that God gave through Joshua when they went in and took it that they might have the individual tribes forever in the land. The losses sustained by Israelites came about by the same reason that we abstain our spiritual losses of our land and ourselves when we sell ourselves. Carelessness. Carelessness. As they were careless in dealing with business. Negligence of our salvation. Negligence of our prayer life. Negligence of our witnessing has caused our problems. Going cold because we're not praying. Going cold because we're not witnessing. Being negligent and not working out our salvation. Carrying it, working it out to its ultimate conclusion. Ignorance. Inexperience, lack of abilities, cause people to lose their farms and causes us to lose our land and sell ourselves to the enemy. Sicknesses, misfortunes that come up our way, the obscure origin, not quite sure what tribe you belong to, who your father or great father or grandfather or mother, as you came, you went to someplace else, and then their children were born, and their father and mother died, and they became obscure. They didn't know what their inheritances were. And so many people forgot and didn't realize they were sons of God. And they tried to produce those that thought they were grandsons of God. But God doesn't have any grandsons. Just because your parents are sons of God doesn't make you a grandson of God. God has only sons of God. You have to be a son of God for yourself. And many people have lost out because they forgot that they were sons of the living God. Deceit of land-grabbing demons have caused people to lose their inheritances. Land grabbers in those days, people who deceit and use and people who were rich abused those that were poor and got more and more. And so it is, there are wicked spirits about that would come and land grab and take from God's people that which God has given them as your rightful inheritance, and they've come through deceit and bringing false doctrines and so forth and have stolen away from your heart the truths and the fruits and the tools and everything else that God has given to you. The Jubilee is a time of spiritual rest. It's a time for God. It's a time for trusting God. You have to trust Him and not labor. It's a time for rejoicing. It's a time for exemption from care and the burdens of work. And there is a Jubilee in which God wants His people to come into a spiritual rest. All that are weary and heavy laden. And let Him give them rest at a time when you have worked rather long and hard. It's time to come and rest before the Lord. It's time to trust Him. It's time to rejoice in God. And not just carry burdens week after week after week until you're about to go under. Jubilee is the time for homecomings. The parents in a particular case did not keep up the farm as they should. They weren't working as they should during the time of the working week. They were too lethargic. They had too much time talking and doing other things. They weren't skillful. They weren't learning. They weren't applying themselves. They didn't keep their children working on the farm. And they became deeply arrears to God and to justice and to the demands of God's creditor. And they begin to lack strength. And they begin to lose the vision. And they begin, the produce begin to be small. And pretty soon they're living under dry heavens. And you know there have been parents out here who have come to a place they didn't keep up their spiritual life. They got deeply indebted to God. They had owed Him thousands of hours of prayer and of tithes and of work and so forth. They lacked strength and they lacked vision. And they didn't get much in spiritual things. And they were living under dry heavens because of it. And so the creditor came along. And the son hadn't been doing any different than they because he hadn't been taught to. And they had been sowing to the devil. And they got in debt to the devil. And the devil came along. And the devil began to demand of them as well. And they all began to owe him their body and their soul because they sacrificed to him. And he took everything that they had. He took everything that they were. And all was lost. And so they sold the son into sin to work for the cruel taskmaster who always collects. And that's what happened to many of you because your parents, through negligence and through lack of understanding, allowed their
family to become so weak spiritually that the sons were sold to the devil who took them and had their lives. But the Jubilee has sounded for many of you, and you're able to come back into the family of God, into a renewal, a spiritual renewal. Look at a case of a child of hood, spent on the breezy, beautiful slopes of lovely Mount Carmel. And there he, the child, would play in the sunshine. And there were the babbling brooks that he threw the rocks in. There were the birds that sang their sweet notes on the wing. There were sheep on the hillside. There were the beautiful flowers on Mount Carmel. There was the vintage of the vines and the produce and the melons to gather. But all of a sudden, as they continued on, and the life began to grow weary, misfortune strikes them. Something happens to Dad. Something happens in the family. And death sets in or something. Discouragement sets in. And pretty soon the people are not going to the sanctuary. They're not paying the tithe. They're not glorifying the Lord. They're living to lose the vision. The far weeds begin to grow up in the farm. They get lazy. Big brother goes off and gets married, or sister goes off, and the things begin to pile up. And pretty soon they find themselves in bondage. The produce isn't producing, and the creditors are beginning to demand upon the property. And pretty soon that son is sold into slavery. And now you look at him many years later, and now he's bent over. His skin is leathery. We find the lines upon his sad face as he looks to you. The countenance is now sad. We find that the lonesomeness that he has, terrible lonesomeness for his home. But in time it becomes dim memories. But there's always that little spark of hope down inside. Maybe someday I can go home and see the family again. Maybe someday I can go home to Mount Carmel. And there's bitter tears. And it's all because of neglect. It's all because of misfortune. It's all because of ignorance. It's all because of deceitful doctrines. But then all of a sudden, as you're working and laboring in the valley below, you hear the sound of the trumpet of Jubilee. It's coming from the walls of Jerusalem on the hill. And you recognize it, that this is the year of Jubilee. And so the sun looks up from the valley. And pretty soon the 48 Levitical cities throughout the whole land begin to sound the silver trumpet. And the cry begins going out, Jubilee! 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 It's Jubilee! And Jubilee goes forth. And he tears off the badge of servitude. And he stands up a free man. And he throws down his iron tool. And he runs home with tears of joy. And familiar, friendly faces greet him there. He's home again. And there is hugs. And there is rejoicing. This is the year of Jubilee. And they won't have to work during this year. God will provide for them. God will take care of them. They'll have time for God. They'll have time, because Jubilee is also a time of regeneration of the nation, regeneration of the Church of God, a renewed consciousness of the presence of God, a renewed understanding that God will protect and take care of His own people, and they shall dwell in safety. It is a time of the restoration of all that is lost. After the fall of man, God said, there shall be a curse, and you shall eat bread by the sweat of your brow. But in the eighth year, and in the 50th year, which is the 8th year of the sabbatical week, there will be no agriculture work, as on the sabbatical year. In the 7th, and in the 8th, which is the 50th, there is no agriculture work. You shall not eat by the sweat of your brow. A second Eden has come to you. This is like an Eden again. God will multiply it. You're back in that place again of restoration. There shall be every 50th year to remind you until paradise as lost shall be restored again in the heavenlies and in the New Jerusalem. And now it's a time of faith. And to believe God, time of obedience and not to work and oppress. It's a time of God's covenant. And God's covenant by faith and obedience plus His covenant equals blessing. And that's what's blowing the trumpet for. Now these 39th and 50th years, the sabbatical year and the Jubilee year, were not idle years. Men cannot stand to be idle. God doesn't expect you to be idle. They were time to read the law. Time to read the prophets. It was a holy year. holy means set apart unto God. It shall be holy unto you. It shall be set apart for the work of God. To worship them. And to sacrifice them. time to spend with God. In other words, they had a 2-year camp meeting, as it were. Man, the time to learn that man does not live by bread alone, but by every that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, by everything that's needed, by every word of God. Time to visit with the rest of the spiritual Israel. At the time, they can now visit with the rest. They didn't have to be laboring in the years. But now they can visit the rest of the body of Christ to recognize that Israel is more than you and your farm and your neighbor, but it's that whole land. And they're in the body of Christ, too. It's time you can... Find out more about the body of Christ and not just be an island unto yourself working in the field. It's a time for them to eat because they could pluck and eat and rest and vacation and play a bit. It was a time to repair houses now. Before they didn't have time, the house was getting let more and more run down. They didn't have time, they were too busy doing just keeping the wolf from the door, as it were, keeping starvation away. Now they can repair the homes and repair the tools and repair the fences and they could begin to weave rugs and they can make pottery and they can embellish and embroider and take care of things and provide luxuries. Now everything can get back in shape again. Time to get everything that you had let go. Time to come in. You know there's a time when the church is pressing on and pressing on. There's a time when God wants to bring a blessing so you can not just have just barely enough money to just get by, but to have enough money to be able to repair and get everything all taken care of and in your own lives. Not just making it from day to day, you know, but time to rest in God and repair the fences that have been broken down and to repair the house and structure of God and begin to weave and put the rugs in and build another clay and time to paint, time to do all the things. So when they started the next year, the 51st year, everything was in good shape again. They had time to get everything taken care of because they didn't have to be laboring in the harvest field because God was going to take care of them. Israel historically kept the Jubilee for about 400 years after it was initiated. And during that time, God never let them down. But then, as they begin to lose out spiritually, they begin to let God down. They begin to lose faith. They begin to worry. They begin to worry that if they don't, well, when it comes to the sixth year, if they don't plant in the harvest, they begin to worry about having food for the seventh year. And so they did plant. And the sabbatical year was not given to God. They robbed God of the tithe of the land. And then in the sabbatical year, they also worked because they were afraid of the Jubilee year that maybe God wouldn't take care of them. And so they begin to lose out. And they begin to get stingy with God because they lost faith. And they failed God. They lost heart. They did not obey God. And this is what the church has done. God has not failed to bless his people. But the people begin to get cold in the spirit and they begin to get stingy in their hearts because they begin to lose faith in God. And so they wouldn't pray because you're wasting time. You might as well have action. And so they got out there, and like God said, I know thy works. You always got big think tanks. You got all kinds of frontmen and PR people, and you got all kinds of painters. You make great big posters, and you have public advertisement, and you put for thousands of dollars to big revival. Say, everybody come. And you, I know thy works, but when you get there, it's as dead as a doornail. Nobody prays before the revival. Nobody prays in the camp meeting before the camp meeting. And they used to pray in camp meetings. They used to think when you go to a camp meeting, you pray until it started. And then after the camp meeting was over for that day, they would pray all into the hours of the night. That was the time to set apart. That was a jubilee. And they waited for that time just to praise God and get everybody filled and refilled and everything taken care of. But now you go to a supposed camp revival, and people sitting there, and nobody's doing anything but hogging a seat before the service, and nobody's praying. And then the service starts, and it's so full of announcements, and it's so dead, that not much happens. And then when it's over with, everybody talks and buys tapes and books, and nobody prays. And there's no revival. There's no spirit. I have been terribly disappointed as I have gone to camp meetings. I've done the tent meetings out here in the valley. I've gone different places and buildings. And I find out it isn't like the old brush over meetings. It isn't like the old camp meetings. It isn't like the Spirit of the Lord doesn't come down and envelop them. Men got to a place where they begin to work to provide rather than trust God to provide. And God wants us to work. There's a time to work, but there's a time to trust God. There's a balance there. And so people begin, they quit giving to the work of God because maybe they can't make it at home. And they rob God in tithes and offerings. And so God didn't pour out the windows of heaven upon them. And the land has been stingy because they have not been given to God because they're afraid they can't make it if they do. They can't afford to give to God. They can't afford to obey God. Can't afford not to plant in the seventh year and in the 49th year and in the 50th year. Can't afford not to. I mean, can't afford not to plant. But really, they can't afford to plant, but didn't know it. We have forged our own chains with the devil's materials and the devil's tools to bind us. Usually, we had full knowledge when we started to make these chains. But as we continue to make them and bind them, we begin to go into a spiritual stupor. And after a while, you're just pounding out chains and wrapping them around you, and you don't quite even know what you're doing. You're just doing this. And you know that's what happens to a Christian life. He finds that way. He says, well, I didn't know what I was doing. I mean, I was like I was in a sleep. The devil put me to sleep. And here I was, chaining myself with all kinds of lust of the flesh and fears and bondages. And I was pounding out chains for myself with the devil's tools, with his lies, and so forth. And I've been chaining myself. See? After a while, you're in a stupor. Don't know, when you first start in, you know better. But you're unwilling because, you see, there's something happened. Somebody corrected some problem, and you know better. But after a while, you begin to get to a place you don't know any better. As the devil begins to take over until you're finally so sluggish, you have to be awakened as out of a sleep. There's a true story of a blacksmith that was put in prison in days gone by, ancient days. And in the prison, he found himself with his chains about him. And knowing and being a maker of chains, he knew that a chain is no better than its weakest link. And so he decided to begin to examine his chain very carefully for flaws, where the blacksmith hadn't been careful. Looking for a flaw in some link. If he could find a flaw in some link, he could begin working on that one flaw until finally he could open it up and take the whole chain off. But to his chagrin, or to his, maybe that's the right word in this case, but to his horror, I should say, he noticed certain identifying marks on the chain that only a chain maker will know. He recognized them as his own chain that he had made. And he prided himself in making a chain that nobody could ever break or have a weakness in. And he had provided a chain for his own binding. And that's what many Christians have done. Provided a chain for their own binding. And yet, over and above that, there is a power that was seized upon us that we have given ourselves over to. We've given ourselves over to a power that now begins to compel us. See, you have to give yourself over to an open door. Now, power comes in and begins to compel us. So as 2 Timothy 2.26 says, we are taken captive by Satan at his will. Taken captive at his will, the scripture says. So, well, how come it isn't at our will? Because we have given ourselves over into his hand, finished taking his materials. So Paul said, that which I would, I do not, and that which I would not, I do. There was a law of sin upon you. There was a demonic force that is upon you. But we have opened up to him until he begins to compel us. Now in the Jubilee, God says, I am the sole proprietor and owner of the land. The land must not be sold forever. You're pilgrims and strangers here. It's only a lease situation. Now, God's gifts and God's fruits, he said, were to grow spontaneously in the field without man's effort on those Jubilee years. There would be no man's effort. It would be spontaneously would grow forth. You would know it was God that was taking care of it. And that food was to be for all people. You were not to go in and try to hog it all for yourself and make a harvest out of it. But it was for you and your servants and the animals and the wayfarers In other words, that a whole plot of land belonged to anybody who wanted it. And you would walk, everybody had their own land now again, of course. You didn't have to run somebody else's field, and God would take care of it. But it was open. So there would be no, so you didn't have to glean it all in and hog it to yourself. The gifts were for the whole body of Israel. And it was to be provided by God. And the poor were to be fed, and nobody was to lack. And everybody was set at liberty. This was a jubilee of grace, unmerited favor to be set at liberty this way. Now the Holy Ghost infilling is the spiritual type of the Sabbath. But the jubilee is a greater experience of rest and fellowship in God and in ceasing from your own works than the seventh, the Sabbath. The spiritual Sabbath is the infilling of the Holy Spirit, someday culminating, of course, and naturally to Israel in the millennium, and someday to heaven, of course. But we have a jubilee which was greater than the sabbatical years. And so even as we have had the infilling of the Holy Spirit and a rest in our souls and the blessing of God, there is still a greater resting in God and a greater place of blessing in God in the jubilee, spiritually speaking. The chains of sin have been broken at Calvary when God took us out of Egypt, out of sin. But we find ourselves still imprisoned in a castle tower of this old corruption of fallen nature. But God has flung open the doors by the resurrection of death and resurrection of Christ as he came out of the grave. The door has been flung open, but we're afraid of that demon that's standing outside the open door there, challenging us. The door's open, but a demon stands at the entrance to it. And our ignorance and our own traditions and our own stubbornness become doors to us that are gone when we have the truth. We see bars there that are not there. New will groaning, waiting for the redemption. But there is a jubilee to the church in the last days. Hark! I can hear the trumpet sounding already by the Spirit. I can see people beginning to enter into the jubilee. I can hear the Spirit begin to say, my sons and my daughters, this is the day that I have spoken of. Yea, the jubilee is at hand. The angels are about to blow the silver trumpets. The ministers in all the Levitical cities are about to blow the silver trumpets. The kingdom of priests are about to blow the silver trumpets. This is the day of jubilee. This is the day that God has made. He has made the atonement. And after the atonement comes the time of jubilee. We have not entered into it, as the church has should. But it's open for us. The time is at hand. Throw down your tool. Stand up as a full son of God. Tear off the badge of servitude. Run home to your father's house and be free in the Spirit. And don't let him bring you into bondage again. You have been brought out of bondage by the Spirit. Don't go back into bondage again. Having been delivered by the Spirit, are you then made perfect by the flesh? God forbid. Don't let any man trouble you in this area. But ye that are free, stay free in the Spirit. That doesn't mean free with no authority, no church, and all the rest. For freedom is bondage, and bondage is freedom. That is, being giving yourself totally into God, surrendering to God completely is freedom. And freedom, you think for yourself, is bondage. But when you live after the flesh, the devil binds you. But a freedom in the Spirit is giving yourself totally into God and not being bound by traditions of men and fences of men. But giving yourself open to God, there is no battle between your flesh and God. And so you can do whatever you want, because whatever you want is God, because His will is your will. And then you're free, and you're free indeed. And there's no freedom, there's no lack of struggle between the flesh and the Spirit until your will becomes identical to God's will. And then you can do anything you want, and it'll be God's will. And then and only then are you free. There is a jubilee to national Israel in the millennium too. But at the last trumpet, the final stages of jubilee will begin. And God will gather His from the east and from the west to come home. He will gather from the four corners of the earth. He will gather His elect from the graves of the earth. He will gather from one hand end of heaven to the other, the departed souls and spirits that shall be reunited in the bodies and caught up to meet Him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Blow the trumpets. Now all gathered all shall be gathered to the great feast of Jubilee in that day. Rejoicing in God, having a Jubilee in Him, to enjoy the treasures or the stores laid up in previous years. To the treasures you've sent up on the other side. We shall eat the old stores of the land, He said. Up to the banquet that shall be without labor and without toil. You won't have to labor and toil. There won't be no sweat or tears, but you shall banquet, but God shall provide it. Even as Jubal was the first to invent music, and even as we get jovial from that which is musical and jovial, so Jubilee is a time of music as well. And we find out that the Jubilee has already started in some hearts. It's already available in measure. It'll continue and be perfectly carried out in the heavens and in the New Jerusalem, of course. We are a kingdom of priests, the Scripture says. To blow the trumpet, to sound out the Jubilee is here. But God's people have to have faith in the Jubilee. They have to keep the Jubilee. They have to believe God for the Jubilee and cannot work and plant and do the same and carry under bondage and expect to be free and to multiply and let God multiply. If you take care of your own work, then you have got your own reward. But when you let God do the work, then you have the blessings of God from heaven. Only after the sacrifices, however, on the Day of Atonement, for repentance, can you enter into a Jubilee. You can't enter into a Jubilee when you've got a lot of sin in your heart. You have to come and you have to have the Day of Atonement. You have to have an at-one-ment. You have to be reconciled between you and God because sin breaks fellowship with God. And there has to be an at-one-ment with God. And once you say, "Yes, Lord, take away all my sins," and you allow Jesus Christ to be your scapegoat and carry your sins away, and you are free of that, then you can begin to enter in to the year of Jubilee and wait upon God and experience His blessing and banquet at His table. Those being delivered are coming into Jubilee. Ezekiel 46:17 calls it a free year. The free year. That's the year when you're free. Hallelujah. Free in the Spirit. Jubilee is to be a time when everybody forgives everybody of the debts. And if you owe me debts and I owe him, then I release everybody the debts and they all go free and go back to their home and have their own land and everything all over again. Everybody is to forgive everybody of all grievances. Anything they've owed you, you forget. God wants a time when people start forgiving everybody, and everybody takes the full inheritance given them, and everybody to have a time of waiting upon God and plenty, and you shall not oppress one another. Somebody come to the altar, to the piano, please. Now I come to the apex of my message this morning. And I want to ask you the question. Allow the Holy Spirit to examine your heart and your motives and your life right now. Have you sold out any area of your life, of your farm, of your house, of your stock, of your cattle, to the devil? Have you sold out to him any area of your life that he owns it? Have you fallen even as the first Adam fell? Have you lost your wealth in God? Has the devil taken it away as a creditor? Is your dignity gone? Is your innocence gone? As Adam lost his innocency when he fell, and the dignity of man was gone, lost fellowship with God, have you lost fellowship with him? Have you lost the purity as Adam did when he fell? Have you lost the freedom as Adam when he fell? And as a Jew did, or an Israelite when he sold himself to a creditor? Have you fallen into disgrace? Have you become a servant of sin, of a chain of fear, lust, lethargy, hatred, animosity, criticalness, or any other thing change you? God would have you as Samson, the strong man of God, with his long hair of submission, as a Nazarite, having taken a vow before God, having shown off, had his submission shown off by an enticer, bound with chains and become weak, to shake himself. Loud along here of submission to God to grow again. And to shake yourself and break loose your chains. Put your arms to the pillars of this world Babylon and bring the house down. So that in your death of yourself for the flesh, you might have a greater victory than you had all the time that your flesh was alive. My friend, God has a jubilee for you. God has sounded the trumpet. Do you hear it blowing from the Jerusalem walls above you as you toil down in the valley of the shadow of death? Do you feel like you can't see the sun shining for the clouds? Talk. Turn an ear to God and hear the sound of the jubilee trumpet. The far-reaching trumpet throughout the land, for this is the last day. And the church has had established its sacrifices, but this is the last hour when God would have them to enter into jubilee. Would you stand, please? As music ministry...